Good Friday morning. I'm Jake Sherman, and welcome to your Political Playbook audio briefing. Stay tuned after the show for a message from AARP.
And I'm Anna Palmer. Today, we are breaking down the case for President Donald Trump to shut down the government. If you were Trump, is there any cogent case to not shut down the government 1 week from today? First, it actually wouldn't hurt too badly. Congress has already passed a bunch of government funding bills, ensuring a shutdown would only be a partial stoppage of government funding. Trump has bills on his desk that fund critical parts of government, like the Defense Department. Much of the money Trump wants would come in DHS appropriations. So, if he wanted to take a stand, it would be narrowly targeted to one department.
Second, this is what he promised. If you're a Republican lawmaker who believes the 2016 election was about Trump's hardline immigration policies, which many conservatives do, shouldn't you take a stand on this while you can? Shouldn't Republicans fear their base is going to stay home if an all-Republican Washington blows it on the wall? Third, Washington might not be red for long, so this could be the president's last chance to get a wall. If the House is looking like it's lost come January, there's no chance in hell that Democrats will give him a wall. Ever. Zero. Zip. Zilch. If Democrats win the House, there's no chance the president will get a wall in the lame duck either.
Fourth, won't Hill Republicans find a way to fold? Think of it this way. In this scenario, DHS will have no money 39 days before the election. Who is more likely to fold? Donald Trump, who is still fuming he folded last time, or House Republicans, who will be incentivized to put the episode behind them so they can get home to campaign? And Senate Republicans seem to be drifting ever closer to the president. Of course, Hill Republicans say they are adamantly against a shutdown, but you can easily see Washington getting there, and Democrats are running on government dysfunction. So if Republicans get close, the minority have no incentive to help out.
There are 46 days until Election Day, 1 week until the government shuts down.
Here's the latest on Brett Kavanaugh. Burgess Everett and Alana Shore are reporting that Christine Blasey Ford's attorneys are floating that she could testify Thursday, though no decision has been made. The Washington Post has the story everyone is talking about. Ed Whelan, president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center, tweeted out photographs and floor plans to suggest another location for the house party Ford described. He also named another student who could be responsible. Ford dismissed Whelan's claims, and Republicans on Capitol Hill and the White House have sought to distance themselves from Whelan.
Brent Griffiths has what Donald Trump said about Brett Kavanaugh. The president spoke with Sean Hannity before a Las Vegas rally last night. Trump questioned why Brett Kavanaugh's accuser did not contact the FBI 36 years ago when she was a teenager. He also said he wants to hear what she has to say, but cautioned against delaying the consideration of Brett Kavanaugh further. Republicans we speak to say if it appears Ford is willing to testify, the Judiciary Committee can't say it's Monday or bust. They need to be a smidge more accommodating than that.
Democrats are going on the attack. Ultraviolet is releasing a new TV ad in West Virginia, Nevada, and Arizona, and digital ads in Maine, Alaska, and Texas targeting Republicans on the Kavanaugh appointment, called Senator, You're Mistaken. The ad says Republicans are, quote, still blaming a survivor of sexual assault instead of believing her, and don't put another sexual predator on the Supreme Court. The ad is expected to run until the hearing. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Kavanaugh's wife, Ashley, has faced threats. While in South Carolina, Republican Representative Ralph Norman joked about the Kavanaugh drama by opening up a debate, saying that another judge, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, came out that she was groped by Abraham Lincoln, the Post and Courier is reporting.
On the 2018 front, the New York Times is reporting that while Trump continues to talk about a red wave, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan expressed concern at a U.S. Chamber of Commerce meeting last week. Our colleague Daniel Strauss is reporting that Democrats are making headway in the Midwest at the gubernatorial level. On the investigations front, ABC News is reporting that Michael Cohen has spoken with Bob Mueller's team for hours discussing everything from Russia to possible collusion.
Here's what's on tap for Trump's Friday. The president will participate in a supporter roundtable in Las Vegas this morning before heading to the VA Southern Nevada Healthcare System, where he will deliver remarks and participate in a signing ceremony. In the afternoon, he will fly to Springfield, Missouri, where Trump will participate in another supporter roundtable and headline a Make America Great rally. Afterward, the president will fly to Newark, New Jersey, en route to Bedminster, New Jersey. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.
Today's episode is sponsored by AARP. Will 50-plus voters decide the Ohio midterms? The latest issue of Politico magazine series, The Deciders, is examining working-class voters over 50 in Ohio who are feeling economic anxiety and could decide the gubernatorial and senatorial elections this November. Visit politico.com/thedeciders to learn more and to view the latest Politico AARP poll results.